speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
We want to discuss today some very important things concerning divorce. You know, indeed, divorce is something that is happening on a daily basis in our world. It's so sad to see the hearts that are broken, both of the children and of the mates, and for the evil that is done to one another in these things. I suppose of all the departures from the faith that I have seen in my childhood on up, none have been more harmful and widespread than the false teachings that surround marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It is amazing to me how many people seem not to be able to understand the Scriptures once they have a problem with their own lives or in the lives of their loved ones. Even some otherwise faithful elders and preachers have a quest to the thoughts and the times and the trends of these times, and they have fallen prey to those things which are of the world and not of the Lord. My friends, it's not hard to understand these Scriptures. However, despite that alarming number of homes being ripped apart by divorce and multiple marriages taking place thereafter, God's Word does not change from condemning such activity to condoning it. It is good to remember the following account found in Matthew 19, verse 3 through 9, and I hope that you'll read it with me at this time. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, there no longer are more twain, but one flesh. And what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now in this verse, or in these verses of Matthew 19, we find some very pertinent and important teaching. Our Lord thought seriously about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and His law is the law before whom we shall stand, and before which we shall stand in the great day of judgment. In John 12:48, He said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Well, according to this passage, Jesus reinforces the divine teaching on marriage, which was actually established in creation by God. One man for one woman for life. And in verse 9 here of Matthew 19, he gives one exception, only one, for remarriage to another if a mate is still living. The exception, of course, is fornication, which covers actually a broad range of sexual immorality, being adultery or fornication, homosexuality, bestiality. In other words, it is illicit sexual relations with one who is not our mate. Now, it must be understood that when the innocent party, the one who's not guilty of fornication, when that innocent party puts away the guilty, the marriage ends. The marriage is broken. The vows are no longer to be honored. And if not, the innocent party could never remarry. But the question arises, can the guilty party ever marry another with the approval of God? The answer, of course, according to the Scriptures here, is no. While such an individual can be forgiven of sin, he or she is not eligible to marry another ever again. They have forfeited their right to marry. Well, is this a difficult doctrine? Well, it is for the disciples, and it was for them back in Jesus' day, and Jesus recognized it was so, according to Matthew 19, 10, and 11. But many who are put away on scriptural grounds, despite their sinful behavior, often began to feel sorry for themselves, and they bemoaned the Lord's teaching. Oh, how could it be true that the loving Lord could say such things about our difficult situation? Solomon correctly observed in Proverbs 19:3, The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. You know, the wise man is describing an individual who desperately defies God's will and then complains to the Lord about the consequences, of which he was adequately and sufficiently warned in the Word, but he just ignored those things to his own detriment. What should one put away on grounds of fornication do, seeing that he or she never can marry again? Well, remember these words of Jesus, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, Matthew 19:12. Now, obviously, the Lord is not speaking of self-mutilation, but rather one who keeps his body free from sexual impurity and the blight of wrong. The very fact that he has not kept himself from these things is what's caused his divorce. I have known several Christians who, having put away or having been put away on grounds of fornication, they repented of their sins, and they live faithfully before God by remaining celibate the rest of their lives. God bless such individuals for their dedication and for their discipline and for their courage. Now, as the Church of Christ, we, of course, must continue to defend the Lord's teaching concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We have no right to change that or any other doctrine of the Lord. Remember Revelation 22:18-19, where God said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man taketh away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book. It's not good, my friends, to change God's word because we do not like what it teaches. Not all brethren are willing to do this, of course. I knew of one deacon who urged an unfaithful sister who happened to be living with her fifth husband to come back to the church despite the adultery and enjoy sweet fellowship with absolutely no repentance. He said he would let God judge the matter. Well, God has already judged the matter, my friends, in such matters as these through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. Indeed, it is said to be studying the Bible with someone whom you are trying to convert, only to find out that they're presently involved in an adulterous marriage and that they do not intend to change that situation, nor do they intend to remain celibate. But this is not the teaching of the Lord, is it? Unless they're willing to end that relationship, salvation is not possible, because salvation necessitates repentance. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 13:3? I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Acts 17:30-31, he said, the times of ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to come to repentance, seeing that he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. We want people to obey the gospel, but my friends, we have to be willing to repent. Our baptism is of no value whatsoever. It does not say, be baptized and then repent. It says, repent and be baptized. And in Acts 2:38, when Peter told those murderers of the Lord what they had to do, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it must be remembered, my friends, that God places these restrictions upon us for the good of the family, for the stabilization of society. It's not here just to punish us. It's not here just to make a difficulty for us. But any society that disregards God's law on marriage will wreak havoc and chaos in their ways. No nation has ever survived for very long that has had a divorce rate above 40%. And presently, our nation hovers at a 50% divorce rate. How sad to see the difficulties that we bring upon ourselves. Sadly, even many members of the church will contribute to and condone divorce for any and every cause. But my friends, it is not true at East End. It is not true in any faithful congregation. The truth of the matter is we must uphold the truth with regard to marriage, divorce, and remarriage, not because we don't like people, but because we do like them and want them to be saved. We can never forsake the clear biblical injunctions on this subject, despite those who may seek and would seek to change the Lord's teaching in this or in anything else. So, my friends, except it be for fornication is the only reason that one has the right to remarry. And if they are the fornicating party, then they have forfeited their right to marry again. It's been a pleasure for us to discuss these things. We're hopeful they've been helpful, and we're hopeful that you will make your determination to walk in the truth of God's Word. Buy the truth and sell it not. That's so important.